you made it to session number 4. I am mightily impressed. So many people stop after a tape or two. So I really want to congratulate you sincerely for sticking with us, because, again, in the beginning, seems like a lot of work. And these first 3 sessions have been very intensive in terms of new ideas and concepts, and it can feel very overwhelming at first. But if you hung with it, or if you went back and listened to it again, I know with enough repetition, you'll get it. And let me tell you something. We're creating a plan for your whole life. We're creating a system that's going to allow you to not just manage your life so that it's acceptable, but to make it absolutely extraordinary. Will you have the level of fulfillment you really deserve? So let's take a second and recap what hopefully you did yesterday. And honestly, if you didn't do it, make sure you do it by the end of this session. And I'll do the recap real quick. But I want to just tell you up front that this session is on the power of vision. And I want to talk to you about what that really means. But ultimately, this session is a very simple session. It's going to be you now going inside your head and finding out what will drive you to really make sure these areas of your life called categories of improvement are areas you love to spend time in. So you have a larger picture of what it is you want, a deeper set of emotions. And that's how you ensure that this becomes part of your life, because having a system you understand intellectually isn't going to change you. When you grab your emotions and run with it, when you see the ultimate picture of what's possible and the ultimate feeling of what's possible, now you got some real drive. It's like it says in the good book, the Bible, without a vision, people perish. And we need a vision for our lives. And I see people all around me perishing. They're not dying. They're dying emotionally. They have this incredible loss in their life of that fundamental thing called enthusiasm even. I mean, enthusiasm in its Greek root means en theos. It means godlike. And enthusiasm is something that we kind of poo-poo as a society today because, well, if you're really enthusiastic, you're just naive. I mean, after all, you get all enthusiastic and it doesn't work, and then, of course, you won't succeed. But I've never met anyone, a great writer, director, producer, a businessman, a leader, a teacher, an educator, a politician, who's ever accomplished anything meaningful without enthusiasm, much less had a life that they really cared about and enjoyed. So we got to take all those thoughts and just think of it this way. Successful people do what the failures won't. You know, failure will sit around and tell you, ah, don't do this, don't go for it, it's a waste of your time. But take a look at their life and see if that's whose beliefs you want to adopt. When I meet people, I don't care if it's Nelson Mandela or a Mother Teresa or Princess Diana, God rest both their souls. These people have a passion and enthusiasm. They want to spend time because they have a vision for their life. Not all of them have it perfectly articulated in writing, but they had that picture in their mind, that feeling, and they knew why they wanted it. And that's why they put in so many hours, because it wasn't hours for them. Remember, time is emotion. What it was for them was a sense of absolute fulfillment and pursuing something greater than the current moment. In the first tape, I talked to you about how do you make things the way you want it. And I said, first, see it as it is, not worse than it is out of your fear. Second, see it better than it is. That's what we're going to do now. Let's create a vision for what's really possible, because you've got to have that to have drive. And then make it the way you see it. And how to make it the way you see it is what the next tape is going to be about. We're going to finally get to where you understand OPA beyond, oh, it's 3 questions, and I got these categories, and I got this vision. What we're doing in this first section, these first 4 tapes, is really getting you to understand how do you create a philosophy that can guide your life? How do you change your thinking? How do you change how you feel? And how do you set up your life so you're not overwhelmed and you're proactively moving towards what you want instead of reacting to the demands and the fears and the immediate pleasures of the moment? Now, tomorrow, after we're done with this, and again, tomorrow might be tonight for you or this afternoon if you're going in this in an accelerated way, then I'm going to start actually walking you through OPA itself. Like, how do I plan my day? What are the 5 master steps to planning my day or planning my week or beginning to do a project? We're going to start walking through the practical aspect. We're going to actually start to enter your life management OPA planner or the software for that matter. So I just want you to know where we are in the process. But I had to take these first 4 tapes because they're the most important part. I want you to know that the mechanics of how to manage your time are really 20% of getting the results you want in your life. They're invaluable, they're important, but they're 20%. 80% is the psychology, your mindset, your philosophy, your ability to change your focus quickly, your ability to know what you really want. And so that's true in life, by the way. If I work with a peak performance athlete, they got the skill sets. I mean, they've been around for 20, 30 years. They've done well before I ever showed up. But what happens is I help them, that's the 20%. I help them on the 80% that affects their golf game, their tennis game, their hockey game, their football game, whatever game it is they're playing. That's where you make the shift in the quality of your life. And that's the thing that most of us are not trained to do. So that's what we're doing these first 4 tapes. So first of all, what's our recap? Well, just let's recap yesterday. The big thing we talked about yesterday was categories, or I should say in the last session, I'm assuming it was yesterday for you. What are categories? We said that in our lives, if we are not conscious, we will get hooked. We will react to what's going on that we're concerned about, and our focus will go there. And we'll look at the wall and we'll drive into it, even though we're trying our best to do something really useful. We'll get hooked by other people's demands. We'll get hooked by our need to have instantaneous pleasure, and we won't get what we want. Or even if we start using open, we start saying, what's my outcome here? The problem is we may make all of our outcomes focused on one area of our life. We may get so involved in our career that we leave out our personal intimate life, or we leave out our spiritual life, or we don't take care of our body, or even in our business. We may put too much focus on what we're good at, right? Like maybe you're good at developing the greatest product, but you don't market it. You don't put enough time into marketing it. So here's, you got this great product and nobody knows it. Or you're a great employee, and so you work really hard doing your job, but you don't market yourself to the company. People don't know what a great job you're doing. And marketing doesn't mean it has to be formal. There are ways so that people know without bragging, without being a jerk, that people begin to say, my God, this person is really adding value. And that's where raises, opportunities, everything else shows up. Or maybe you're really good at marketing, but you don't take care of your finances. You know, all these things come back to bite you. So we gave you the metaphor, if you remember, of the tire of your life. And we said, let's just do an arbitrary little example. Where do you think you are? And if you remember, I said, if that outline was a tire on your car called life, how would your car drive? And you, most of you probably said pretty bumpy, right? Then if you went 100 miles an hour, you might get killed. So I was trying to get that to get you to understand the importance of categories. So we said, let's just sit down and do something simple. Let's look at our life as having two areas of management. One of those areas is your personal life. One is your professional life. Let's make sure that in your personal life, we actually decide up front, what out of all the things that are involved in my personal life, what are the areas that I've got to continually focus on? And more than just focus, I've got to continually improve to make my life work. And instead of saying, well, I got to run and I got to have a good diet and I got to exercise, all those things relate to one area, don't they? Your physical body. So that simplifies it. Instead of saying, well, I'm an athlete and I'm a polo player and I lift weights and I do all these things, all that can fit into that same category. That makes it more simple, so you don't have so many moving parts. And then we said, what else? And many of you said, well, there's my family life. Then there's my emotions. Then there's my finances. There's my spirituality. There's my friendships. And we broke those down. Then we said, let's look at your professional life. And that one probably felt more complex at first. But if you recall, we gave an example of my daughter, Jolie, who's an actress. She just works on being a great actress, and she doesn't actually take time to manage the people managing her. She's not going to have much of a career. If she goes and works really hard at being a great actress and doesn't keep increasing her skills, and if she doesn't make that something she constantly improves, focuses on, then, you know, she's not going to get better and she's not going to have the kind of growth in her career that she deserves. And then I give you a more complex example of somebody who runs a whole division. So I know you say, okay, I remember this, Tony, I know, but repetition's the mother skill. I want you to remember the why we're doing this. Because now once we have these categories, now we can set some goals, or I would say as outcomes for these categories, or maybe, like we're going to do today, say, of all these things together, everything in my physical life, what's my ultimate vision there? I mean, if I could have it the way I want it, ultimately, what would I be like physically? If I could have it any way I wanted in my intimate relationship, what would it be like in my family life? If I could have it any way I want it in my career, in this aspect of my career, what would that look like? And by the way, that's what we call an ultimate vision. So then once we've done that, we want to say, what's OPA? Know your outcome, your big vision. Now let's look at your big why. What's your ultimate purpose? Why do you want to make your body this way through all these different things we're talking about? And you'll start to get that. And then we'll come up with the equivalent of the action items, which is what are the goals that I'm after? Then in the following days, I'm going to show you how to take any of those goals and put them into a plan that shows up tomorrow. It actually, in that place that I overuse the phrase, the rubber meets the road, because this, most people don't live there. And we will take those visions and break them down to what you're going to do. So that's why we spent so much time on categories yesterday. And I just want to remind you that after we looked at categories, they said, what do we got? Now we got, let's say, 12 drawers or 14 drawers, 7 and 7, personal life, professional life. Now everything in my life virtually can probably fit in one of those two areas. That's pretty cool. So now that we've got that, it'll keep us out of overwhelm, allows to manage things, and keeps us focused on each of the areas so we don't leave things out. And I'm going to give you a system a few sessions from now that'll help you say, how do I plan my week? And part of that session will be to quickly review your categories and your visions, which will inspire you and give you clarity about what you want. And then you can set specific goals and you can create specific plans each week in those areas that matter most to you. Is that making sense so far? I hope it makes common sense to you. I think after a while it really will. Now, one of the other things we did yesterday is we talked about the power of language to completely change your emotional state. Remember the whole idea that if I say to you, I think you're mistaken, I think you're wrong, or I think you're lying. Major shift in how you're going to feel about something. I have to do this, or I get to do this. So this is not mental games. This is literally shifting your entire perspective by changing your pattern of language. And what we said is that we tie that in with an understanding that we can spend more time and will want to spend more time in these categories if we not only juice them up, like we change working on my physical body to absolute total physical fitness or world-class fitness and health or energy to burn becomes the title of your physical category. But if we add some roles in there, the different ways of thinking about yourself as that person, it gives more juice to our lives. So examples I gave you is under my category, which is physical power, world-class health and fitness, my roles are things like I'm an athlete, I'm an Adonis, because that's stupid and ridiculous and makes me smile, but I think about that's what I'm doing when I'm lifting weights. I'm an extraordinary polo player, right? And you work through those different categories. Or if I took another category for you, let's say a category in my professional section, like as chairman of Tony Robbins Productions, I'm the infomercial king, you know? I'm the TV genius. And again, you go, boy, you're pretty full of yourself. Yeah, I am. what I do is it makes me smile, puts me in a place, go, yeah, I'm being the infomercial genius today. And I think differently as an infomercial genius than I do as, oh, the chairman of Tony Robbins Productions. Or I'm a partner in a public company called 4Health, Irwin Naturals. And I look at that and say, who am I for this company? Well, I'm a world-class partner. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an extraordinary leader. Those are the feelings they get. Now I want to go spend time there rather than going, oh, my God, I got to manage another one of the companies I'm involved in, and I got to make this happen, and how do I make it occur? Oh, my God. You know, I'm a world-class peak performer and turnaround expert. And what's my role there? I'm the leader called upon by leaders. Somebody wrote that as a title of an article on me one day, and I thought, that makes me feel good. I like that. I'm going to steal that and use it. Or in an area like best-selling author. It's like, you know, okay, that's nice. That's one of my professional categories is a best-selling author writing. And I thought, okay, well, who am I? I'm a worldwide source of inspiration. So I have another one where I'm accumulating companies. So I call it acquisition monster is the category. And then I've got brilliant strategist, leader, and marketer. Those are the roles that I play there and the companies that I help to take over or turn around and become a part of. So I could go on and on, all the different examples here for you, but you got to find the thing that really works for you. Because like even my foundation, which I developed to change lives, and we're in 150 school systems, we're in 100 prisons. The last couple of years alone, we fed over 250,000 people at Thanksgiving. I'm really proud of it. But when I was doing all these other things, and all of a sudden the foundation wanted me to do something else, one more, I was like, one more thing? And so I realized I needed a better vision for the foundation that would inspire me, and I needed language that would put me there. So I said, you know, what am I really? And I said, you know, I'm a lover of mankind. You know, I'm a philanthropist. I'm a force for good. I'm a force for God. Those emotions grab me. Those are the ones that will make me move. And what happens is I printed these out so they're in my planner so I can see these. I can see my whole life on one page. And I can see all the roles that I have. And that's an exciting feeling because I can look down and I want to look at my week. Instead of saying, what do I need to do? I think, who am I going to be this week? And that's a whole different feeling than, oh my gosh, what do I have to do? That starts to change the whole game. Is this making sense? Now then what happens is on one page I see it all, but then I have tabs. And you'll see them when we walk you through the planner. You don't have to look now. And on those tabs, I have one section, which is one tab for every one of my professional categories. One set of tabs for every one of my personal categories. So I can flip right now my book and flip to, for example, the section on my physical body. And there is written my ultimate vision, what I want to be physically, my ultimate purpose, why I'm willing to do whatever it takes to have that, the roles I play as a physical person, the resources that are available to me. Like I have one of the best body workers in the world that I have available to me. I have a gentleman named Pete Egoscue, who's I think the best structural man in the world. I know Stu Middleman. He's a good friend of mine. He's here with me in Fiji right now. So is Pete. And we're doing this physical week together. Stu ran 1,000 miles in 11 days. He holds the world's record. I mean, 1,000 miles in 11 days, can you imagine that? That's like more than 3 marathons a day for 11 straight days. Most people hit the wall, you know, on their first marathon that they've done, they prepared for 6 months. And he isn't lucky. There's a pathway to power. There are things that he does. And so I get to find out, you know, how to do that, how to move my body more effortlessly. But what happens is when I was planning this trip to come to Fiji, I thought, okay, what are the areas of my life I want to work on while I'm there and have fun with? One of them was physical. Another one was emotional juice. And I thought, how can I combine those? Well, under physical, I want to run even more efficiently. I want to work out even more effectively. I might want my structure handled. So I invited on this trip 3 of the best people I know in all those areas. I thought, emotional juice, I really would love to sing, and I always say I don't have the time for it. And I said, that's a bull incantation. It's not true. I just need to put an environment where I can relax and enjoy it. And I thought, well, I don't know if I can do that. I thought, well, I'm going to do this tape program while I'm here. Let me see if I can get a hold of this guy, Roger Love. So sure enough, I got a hold of him. He's one of the best in the world. And I said, would you like to come? And we worked out a deal, and he came here. And so now he's sitting here listening along with us. So now I have all these great resources, and guess what I'm working on? My physical body, my emotional life, my relationship with my wife, all those different elements are being worked on simultaneously, and I'm doing some professional categories. One of my professional categories is to create the most extraordinary and effective products in the world to transform people's lives. I'm in the middle of doing that as I'm speaking to you. So do you see how you can actually combine things at one time, and you're going to feel incredible when you do this? You might say, well, I don't have the time for all that. Please stop that. If I catch myself saying that, I go, that is a lie. I have the time for anything I'm totally committed to. I just need to organize my system. And I used to say that about 50 times a day, and for some reason I was stressed. Now I might say that about once every 4, 5, or 6 weeks when I've made what I'm going after more than really the time I'd organize. So I have to restructure things. So having said all this as the background, I think you get the big picture. At least I hope you do at this stage. So let's now talk about the vision. Let's not just talk about it. I'll give you an explanation of how to use this, and let's just flat do it. But I want you to know, in your book, you're going to have a section. And in that section, for example, my physical body, you flip to that, and you got all these pictures of body parts the way I want mine. You know, in my family section, there's pictures of all my kids. In my sections on business, I've cut out of magazines these different keywords and images and goals and put them on there. So what's happened there is when I flip there, here's what happens. I flip to the section, and I got the vision. I got it visually. In my category of improvement, which I call creator of the good life, in that section, I got pictures of the homes that I'm building, the ultimate images, and I've got one here of Fiji to remind me of the vision I already realized. So that it juices me, and then I look at that, and here's what I see. And you'll see an example in your workbook. We have something we call the vision for success, the Magnificent Seven for creating unstoppable momentum. And it's 7 items. Now, you don't have to do all 7 of these at once. All you got to do first is get your ultimate vision, because that's what's going to drive you. So let me give you a quick example. Let's get right into it. I like you right now, just for a second, take a nice deep breath in, because I've been talking loud and rapidly. Exhale and moan. Oh, come on, you can moan. You didn't moan. It doesn't matter if somebody's around. They're not going to notice. Take another deep breath and just moan and really feel good. Come on, there you go. Now, close your eyes for a second, and I'll give you an example of the power of vision. Close your eyes, and I want you to think about what a 70-year-old man looks like. Or a 70-year-old woman. Get a picture of that in your mind. What does a 70-year-old man or a 70-year-old woman actually look like? Get a picture of that person in your mind. You got it? Okay. Now, before you open your eyes, I'll tell you, when I do this in a live seminar, I'm not the one that does it. I have a man step up on stage who I know. If you remember an earlier tape, I talked about him. He hadn't worked out in years. And he now bench presses 450 pounds. So I'd say to people, and I'll say it to you now, open your eyes. And here's what I want you to know. When I have him standing there, he says, is this the picture you made? And he points to himself. And here's this man who's sculpted, who looks magnificent, who couldn't be, you don't think he's more than 45, 50 max. And you know he looks younger than his age even then. And he's 70 years old. And he's standing upright and strong. And he isn't hunched over. And he isn't broken down. And my question is that the picture you made? And if you didn't, let me just give you a clue. Whatever you focus on is what you're going to get. And you have visions for things you don't even realize. That's you. That's the way you believe you're going to look at 70. And I got news for you. You're going to be guided to that picture, just like having a compass, just like looking at the wall. Do you understand what I'm saying to you here? The vision that you have unconsciously, you're not in a position with no vision in most cases. You got a vision. You're just not aware of what it is. And it may not be taking you where you want to go. The time to set up your life to make it work is now. The time to get that vision, the ultimate direction is forced by that vision. That's why I want you to take the time to actually do this. So if I were to say to you, what vision do you have for your life physically? Most people go, oh, I don't have one. Well, maybe that's why you're not spending any time there. Maybe that's why working out to you is effort, because you don't have something to inspire you. And you wouldn't know why you're going to do it, except, yeah, I got to do it because I know I got to, because I got to maintain myself, because otherwise you kind of break down. And, you know, I want to feel strong and I want to kind of look good. That's not enough reasons to follow through. So we're going to take you through this process of creating this vision for success for each area of your life. And again, I'm not going to have you do all the steps on all the sections. You'll do that on your own. And if you want to do this, the ideal way to do this is after I walk you through it, is for you then to say, okay, I'm going to do this one of two ways. Either I'm the kind of person that likes to just go for it, and if that's your style, then I'd go off, take the tape with you, and I'll walk you through the process as an overall. Then I'll walk you through one area, and this will make sense when I explain it, and you can just take that section, and in a couple hours max, out in some great place by the beach, you know, in your house, in a place where you're comfortable, but where you're not going to be interrupted, and you can do the whole thing. And I suggest you do that. That, to me, is the ideal way. I did it here in Fiji a couple of years ago. I sat down on this little bench, this little chair, I should say, under this little rooftop near the water. And I got to tell you, it started pouring rain around me, and I loved it. I didn't want to move, and it got dark. And I was working on, I did this on my computer. It was a little easier. And if you have the software, it's a great way to do it. But you can do it by hand just as easily. And I'm there cranking out. I didn't want to move. And when I was done, I felt a euphoria for my life like I can't tell you when. Not by just understanding what I've taught you in these first three sessions, but by actually creating the vision and the purpose of why I was doing these things and beginning to set the specific goals. Does that sound compelling to you? Now, your style may be different. You go, oh, it seems overwhelming to me. Then great. Decide that what you're going to do is we're going to do one or two of these today, maybe three. And I don't know how many categories you have, but I'd be willing to bet you don't have more than 15, 16 total, most of you, max. Maybe you got 5 or 6 on the personal and 4 and 5 on the professional. Maybe you just got 10. But I would do 2 or 3 of these minimum a day for 3 or 4 days. 5 max and you have it done. But decide which way you're going to do it and use this tape to guide you through the process to help you do the visualization. It'll be really simple. It's not going to be complex. But let me come back for a second. Let me make a couple quick points. Number one, I want you to remember something. Small visions have no power to move men's blood or women's blood for that matter. See, if you have like a goal and your goal is something that's like, yeah, I kind of like to have that, I guarantee you your problem is not that you don't have motivation. Your problem is not that you're not smart enough to figure it out. Your problem is you haven't got a large enough vision. Big visions move people. I'll give you a simplistic example in business. People, I've watched this happen. People will work 5 times harder to make $100,000 than they will to make $50,000. As an example. Now, that's not a perfect example because it depends where you are in your life economically. But when somebody's just growing and then they're making 30, 40, or 50,000 and you say, here's a chance to make 100,000, that's twice as much money. They won't work twice as hard. They'll work 5 times harder. And they don't even feel like it's work because they have this thing they're going for that excites them. Now, the 100,000 versus 50,000 is a lousy metaphor for whatever drives you. Money may not do it for you at all. But, for example, most of us will do more for others we care about than we'll ever do for ourselves. I know for my children, I've done things that I would never do for another human being, and I think I'm a very giving and incredible human being and humble about it. But the truth of the matter is, for those that you really care about, we'll do more. And I know I do a lot more for them than I do for myself. And that's not being a martyr. I think it's part of the beauty of being a human being. That's how we're built. I think that's an incredibly great thing to tap into within yourself. So whatever it is, we want to get a big vision. We want to get something that's big enough to move us, and at the same time, something that we think we can find a way to make happen. And we'll begin to believe we can make it happen when we get a strong enough reason to do it, not just a vision. And we start realizing all the resources we have. And then when I show you how to make a plan, because I will show you how to take things that maybe you've tried to change before. Maybe you've tried to lose 50 pounds in the past and you did it for a while and they came back. I'm going to show you when we get to the planning part why and how to change it. And I'll show you some pathways to power, some strategies other people have consistently used to get those results. So, but first, you got to get the vision. It's got to be large enough to really, really inspire you. Second is you've got to know why you want that vision. Because the vision's really exciting. It'll inspire you initially, but you got to come up with those reasons. And I know this sounds redundant, but that's because you got to get this. Because this is not the way most people think. Reasons come first. Answers come second. Get big enough reasons. Your reasons, not somebody else's reasons to do it. And I'm telling you, you'll find a power inside of you to make that vision a reality. But you got to find those. You got to dig for those. And a lot of times people have difficulty finding those initially. But when you do, the lights come on. And the third point I want to make for you is that there is a cycle for people that succeed, and there is a cycle for people who fail. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I put this on a little card that's inserted into your CD package or your audio package, or again, if you have the OPA Life Management System, it's in your workbook. But look at what we call the success cycle. This is why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Now, when I say that, I don't mean just rich financially. I mean rich emotionally, spiritually, family, physically, and financially. All the areas of your life, that's real riches. I know people have a lot of money that are very poor. I also know people have a lot of money that are very rich because they got all the riches in their life. So don't say, oh, if I make money, I can't have a quality life. And don't say, if I make money, my life will be quality. Because both of those are lies. Now let's take a look at real wealth. What I really mean is momentum. People who succeed have momentum. The more they succeed, the more they want to succeed, the more they find a way to succeed. And when you're failing, man, you get on the downward spiral and you fail even more. It seems to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Have you ever seen that happen? Or have you ever experienced it? I know I have. But what I had to figure out is how to break that pattern. To do that, I had to understand what was making me be in that place. Now, if you're listening to this audio tape and you're driving for some reason, you don't have the success cycle in front of you, I'll try and help you to picture it. Imagine four squares, two squares parallel to each other on top and two squares parallel to them below. Then draw arrows between them going clockwise. So the first square on the upper left has an arrow that points to the first square on the upper right. The square on the upper right has an arrow going down to the square below it on the bottom right. And the bottom right square has an arrow pointing to the bottom left square. And, of course, the bottom left square has got an arrow pointing straight up. Now, if you already have this in front of you, you're going, thank you for the description. I can see this. But since we're in an audio medium, excuse me for explaining, because I want those of you who didn't happen to bring your card with you to still understand what the heck I'm talking about. So let's walk through it. The top upper left-hand square says a key word in it, the word potential. Potential. And I got a question for you. What do you think the potential is for any human being? I mean, really. What is our ultimate potential? What do you think it is? Well, most people say unlimited, but usually they go, unlimited. They don't have any energy about it, and they wonder why they're not tapping their potential. But we know that at a base level, anything another human being has ever pulled off in their life, the basis of that you have within your own nervous system. If they're thrilled in their mind, if they're enthusiastic, if they're creative, you can trigger that too. You say, yeah, but I can't jump like Michael Jordan, or if you're 5'2", you're not going to win the slam dunk championships. Well, when I wrote my first book, Unlimited Power, I was trying to let people know I understand that while we have unlimited power, there are limitations. So when I wrote the first chapter about being able to set goals, I said, now do be realistic. I mean, if you're 5'2", you're not going to probably win the slam dunk championships. And before I finished the chapter, a week later, in the All-Star game, Spud Webb, who was 5'2", won the slam dunk championships. So I thought, forget this stuff. I'm not going to tell people to be realistic. I was never realistic. Realistic people don't rule the world. Unrealistic people do, because they have an unbelievably intense standard for what they want to create. And even if they fail to achieve their ultimate vision, it's a lot higher than everybody else. Now, I do believe in balance. But the point of the matter is, the potential is there for almost anything you can envision. If you can believe it, if you can conceive it, you can achieve it, is the old phrase. We all have heard it, but it's true. So that's the first section. Now, if you move to the right, the next box says the word action. The box just below it on the bottom right says the word results. And if you don't have in front of you, or if you just want to draw it out, if you can, this will help you to visualize it. So again, potential top left box, action top right box, bottom right box says results, and the bottom left box says belief. Now, let's take a look how this works. We know that people's potential is supposedly unlimited. But if you look at that bottom right box, do most people's results reflect the level of potential they have, yes or no? And you and I both know the answer is no. Most people do not have results in life that are consistent with their real potential. So you say, well, what's the problem? You look at the top right box and you go, they're not taking any action. Sometimes that's true. A lot of times they're taking action. But the problem is they're taking action, but they're taking lousy actions. And often they're taking actions they don't think are going to work anyway. So if you're in sales and you walk around saying to everybody, you wouldn't want to buy nothing from me, would you? Some people will still give you results. They'll say, you know, you look so pathetic, you probably aren't going to eat. Yeah, I will. But you know what? You don't want sympathy. That's not going to give you great results. So if you make 100 calls, but you don't believe it's going to work, it usually doesn't. It's not just action. I think massive action is invaluable, but it's got to be attached to that box on the far left at the bottom. Belief. What's a belief? It's a sense of absolute certainty that if you do something, you're going to produce a result. Maybe not the exact result, but you know you can make it happen. Now, let me ask you a question. You'll see how this cycle works. If a person, for whatever reason, believes they have limited potential, are they likely to take massive action? Or are they likely to take massive action that's even effective? Yes or no? You know they're not. And if you take a little potential and you take only a little bit of action, what kind of results do you get? Little. And when you get little results, what does that do to your belief? Your brain goes, see, I told you couldn't do it. You should just stop. Why even try? Because it reinforces that belief. And then, by the way, now you have even less belief. So now you tap even less potential. If it's possible, you take less action. You get even worse results. And your brain goes, see, and you got even less belief, less potential, less action, less results. Till finally you're in that horrible place where you're trying to figure out what's the least I can possibly do to get by. That's the emotional and psychological death. That's the place where you're in that downward spiral. Now, we've all been there. Haven't you been there at some area of your life? Now, let me show you the opposite. What if for some reason a person absolutely believes, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they can find a way to get the results they want? They may not know how, but that the potential is there. Are they going to tap more potential if they have certainty that they can make it happen? You bet. Are they going to take massive action with a sense of belief? You bet. And does that change the result? When you take massive action, massive potential, you tend to get pretty outstanding results. And when you get great results, guess what your belief says? See, I told you you could do it. And then you know what? Now you're even more inspired. So now you believe even more in your potential. You take even more action. You get even greater results. And your brain says, I told you you're a stud. Go for it again. Now you take even more potential, more action, even greater results. And your brain goes, you are it, baby. And you grow and grow and grow. Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. Now you're in the upward cycle. You've got what we call momentum, right? You're kicking butt. You're taking names. You know you can make anything happen. So the question is, are you on this cycle right now? And the answer is yes. Whether you know it or not, you're going one direction or the other. There's no plateau. There's no in between. And different areas of your life might be measured differently here. But financially, you're going one direction or the other. In your relationship, you're going one direction or the other. Start thinking, well, my relationship, you know, I mean, what can you expect? You know, we've been together for 5 years. You know, you start believing that, then you're going to change your actions. You're going to get lousy results, and your brain's going to go, see, I told you, it's not worth it. She always complains. He always does that. He never follows through. That's the kind of stuff that happens in each area. So how do you get out of this cycle? Vision. Vision is how you get out of this cycle. You go, what do you mean, Tony? The only way to change is not to change your potential. Your potential's already there. You can change your action, but if you don't think it's going to work, your actions won't be quality. So you can change your belief, but how do you change your belief? And the answer is by getting results in advance. You say, what do you mean results in advance? I can't get results before they happen. Yes, you can. I'll give you an example. When I started working with Andre Agassi, he was very frustrated at that time. 30th in the world. He'd won Wimbledon many years before. And I walked through with him what he was doing at his very best versus what he did when all of a sudden things were falling apart. And what was interesting is there was very specific aspects. And if you've listened to my other programs, you know that there are two things that will change your state. We've talked about one throughout this program, changing what you focus on. But the one that's equally valuable, even more valuable in a performance sense, is changing what we call your physiology. The way you breathe, the way you move, the way you gesture determines the way you think and feel. In fact, emotion is created by motion. If you change the quality of your movements, you will literally change the way you think and feel and behave. So I was showing him specifically what he was like in a particular match we'd done poorly, and I asked him what he was thinking about. And he looked across the court to the other side, and he said, I thought about the last time this guy beat me. So both his physiology, his shoulders were rolled over, his breathing was really shallow, and he's now focusing on something lousy. And by the way, he's in a lousy state. How's he going to do? Is he going to tap his total potential, do the very best actions, get great results? No. He's already seeing the results of the past where he did poorly, which is putting him in a belief that he can't do it, which is making him limit his potential and limit his actions and probably setting him up to fail. So I said, let's think of a time when you did really well. How about Wimbledon? Years ago. And he said, well, I think I walked in like this, and I had him show me. What was your body like? And I had videotapes, so I already knew. Just want to see if he had the memory. And so, sure enough, he comes up there, and he starts strolling and strutting. And I said, how does that feel? He said, man, I just felt like I owned the court. And you could see him. He was standing upright. He was breathing fully. His face and his jaw had that sense of determination, and his movements were, like, strong immediately. And he's thought about it, and he's looking across the court, and I thought, what are you focusing on at that time? He said, I thought to myself, why'd this guy even show up? And I said, and look at how you feel even as you remember this right now, Andre. And he was like, he was just pumped. And I said, now I want to tell you something. You had a different focus and a different physiology. You had a vision for what you're going to do there, and that vision was real to you. It made you tap a different potential. You saw the result before you ever walked on that court, didn't you? He said, Tony, I won Wimbledon at least 10,000 times. I said, what do you mean? He said, since I was 5 years old, I visualized winning that. He said, I've seen it over and over and over again. When I walked on the court that day, it was my exact vision. And he said, I felt like I was stepping into the role that I was made for. And I just demolished them. I said, well, you know what? You got to do that again. And you know what? He did a series of simple things like this. And it wasn't just me. He gives me a lot of credit. Lots of other things he did. But within 6 months, he was number one in the world again. Now, sometimes you get to number one, you don't have a vision for what to do now. Remember I talked to you about the astronauts that go to the moon, and they're there, and now what do? And they lose their focus. And I've seen that happen with a lot of athletes through time. But the system to make it work again is in your hands. It's getting that vision. So I want to show you a simplistic example of this. Now, assuming you're not driving, you can do this. I want you to stand up right now. Come on, shake yourself out. Shake your body out. Shake it out. Shake it out. Stand up just for a second, and I want you to put your feet straight together so that they're touching one another and they're pointed straight ahead. Now, what I want you to do is we're going to do a simple little thing, a vision exercise. It's so basic, it's a joke. So it's really easy to do. So shake your body out again. Stretch for a second. Make sure you feel good. Then put your feet together, point it straight ahead, and now I want you to raise your right hand with your right index finger pointing straight ahead of you. Now, what I want you to do when I say now is I want you to turn clockwise as far as you can comfortably without really stretching or hurting yourself, and just kind of notice where you end up. Go ahead. Just turn clockwise without turning your feet. Keep your feet straight ahead. Now come back around. And remember where your finger ended up pointing. Drop your hand. Close your eyes. Let's do something really simplistic. Let's get a little tiny vision for how this could be instead of where you went. I want you to imagine in your mind that your finger is coming up again. Don't actually physically do it, but in your mind, picture it and feel as if it's there. And you say, Tony, I don't picture. Well, just feel as if it's actually happening or see it happening. See and feel it. And in your mind then, with your finger pointed out, feel yourself go twice as far. Don't physically do it. Just do it in your mind and make it feel real. Go twice as far as you went the last time. And make it like a game, like it's fun to do. And then when you've done that in your mind, imagine again your finger coming back up again. You can see it and feel it. And imagine going three times as far. And think of something fun like, I kick butt, man. This is me. I go further every time. Just be playful. Be a little kid again. Don't be a boring adult. And then in your mind, do it one more time. Imagine the finger coming up. And in your mind, see with your feet staying straight ahead, feel yourself turn all the way around like an owl. Your feet stay in front of you and your hand goes all the way around, all the way to the front. And it's effortless and it's easy, and every time you expect to go further. Do one more on your own. Do a fourth one. And wham, it goes around, and it's effortless and it's easy. You go further and further, and it feels fun. Have you done it? Okay, good. Now here's what I want you to do. Open your eyes. Keep your feet together. Bring your fingers straight up in front of you and turn as far as you can comfortably this time, and let's see what's happened. Go ahead. Turn as far as you can comfortably this time, and let's see. Did you go further? Now, I'd be willing to bet you went at least 25% further. No less than 20% further. Am I right? You bet. Go ahead and sit down. And I want to tell you something. You say, well, that's great, Tony, but what does have sticking my finger further got to do with my life and my life plan? Let me ask you a question. Look at that chart again, or if it's in your mind, think about the chart I described to you. First of all, did you get better results this time than last time? You did it the first time. You did it the second time. Did you get much better results? 20, 30% better? Yes or no? You know the answer is yes. Second question. Could you have gone that far the first time? And the answer is yes. Did you have the potential to go further? Yes. Why didn't you? Well, I didn't take enough action. Why not? Because even though you're unaware of it, you have a vision for how far you can comfortably turn. Now, what do? We changed your results radically, not by changing your potential. We affected your actions, but the way we did it was we gave you more certainty. We got you to believe you could go further. How? By getting results in advance. By having you actually experience the result as if it had happened. See, the brain does not know the difference between something we vividly imagine and something we actually experience. And I don't mean something that you visualize perfectly. I mean, you see it in full color. I don't do that. But I mean something you really feel, you get a gut level check on, and you get some sense of, some image of it, some level. That's what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about imagining it so vividly that it becomes real to you. Because when your brain gets that, it says, oh, this is what's natural. This is what's real. This is the standard from now on. And so sure enough, maybe you didn't go as far as you pictured, but you went much further by having a larger vision. Does that make sense? In fact, I want to tell you something. So many people in life who have less talent than you have, less skill, less ability, maybe less education, become more effective just because they've developed a vision that drives them and they got enough reasons to figure it out. And very often we, day to day, we get caught up in all the reactions of daily living and we don't have a clear enough vision and we get off track. I was talking to my wife, Becky. She's responsible for running Namali. It's one of her categories. Namali is our resort here in Fiji. And we've worked really hard to develop this from the bottom of the list to now it's considered to be one of the top three resorts in the country. And so we're very proud of it. But, you know, when you're running a resort from 11,000 miles away, there are times when there's some things that happen that are kind of frustrating. That's part of business, part of doing things like that. And at one point, she was so frustrated, she didn't want to spend any time on it. And I said, oh, you really aren't doing an effective job there, which she really loved hearing. It's a really good thing to say to your spouse. It really builds rapport. But, you know, I got to coach her because we're in business together. We're partners besides lovers and husband and wife, et cetera. So I said, you know what I think the challenge is? I don't think you have a clear vision anymore. Like, we I've built this thing so it's so much greater than what it started that we've surpassed your vision. And I see this happen with people all the time. They set a goal, man, that goal drives them. They're so excited, you know. And then they get the goal, and then it's like, well, that's great for a while, but now they don't have a reason to keep going on, and now they lose the juice about that subject. I'll tell you one of my secrets. As I'm pursuing an outcome, a significant outcome or goal or vision, I get real close where I now see I'm going to make this happen, something I worked on for years. I immediately set the next set of goals or outcomes while I'm still there before I achieve the other one, because otherwise you hit a lull, and that lull makes you no longer have something compelling to go for. So I'm constantly taking my visions and making them real as quickly as possible. But very often what happens is I'll get close, and when I get close, I say, okay, before that's realized, let's get the next thing on the game plan, because this is not about achieving goals. This is about me as a human being maximizing my capacity to create and to give and to become more as a man. So if I'm going to do that, then I can't like lose my drive, and that happens from not having a vision. That's why the Bible verse says, without a vision, people perish. And you can't allow yourself, just because you're an achiever, to lose your sense of vision because now you've realized it. Does that make sense? And by the way, I will tell you, to finish the story with Becky, we're here and she's out of her mind and we're making all these improvements to the resort, all kinds of great stuff that wasn't thought of before. And now that she has this vision, I mean, her time here, she really wants to spend time here. She wants to manage it. She wants to make it happen. She's talking to me the other day. She said, all these obstacles are happening. She goes, but I don't care. I know my vision. I'm going to make this happen. And I know why I want to do it. And I know how I want to do it. And I'm going to do it. And I thought, wow, look at the spark. It's back alive. And all I did with her is I said, close your eyes. Get out of frustration. Stop looking at today, the moment. Remember, see it as it is. Okay, I see how it is. Don't see it worse than it is. Now, see it better than it is. See it the way you want it. Why do you want it that way? Now, how are you going to do that? But even if the how doesn't work, you have the ultimate vision, the ultimate outcome. It'll keep pulling you if you make it vivid enough. Just like when you turn the corner with your finger, when you got a visualization, a vision that was bigger, you went further. And in fact, many of you actually made it silly and fun. So the same thing's true in life. And so now she's totally inspired. And she said, she came up to me yesterday at lunch and said, she asked me where I was in this program. And I said, I was going to be doing this vision program today. And she said, oh my God, that is so valuable. I want to use that because I don't think I've done that enough in all the areas of my life, because a lot of things we've achieved, I kind of take for granted now. It's not that I don't appreciate it. It's just I don't have the same drive about it because we've done so much. We've accomplished so much. I said, man, when you think you've made it, you're in trouble. You know, the road to success is always under construction. And real success is not a thing or a place or amount of money or someone telling you you're good. Real success is that ongoing experience of becoming more as a man or woman and knowing that you're maximizing your capabilities today and you're expanding them. That you're really doing what you have envisioned for yourself rather than living by somebody else's script. If you're a follower, somebody else can come along and give you a vision. But if you're the leader, you got to create it. And I'll tell you one final example on this, and then we'll just go do it. Anyone who achieves something magnificent, not something good, not something acceptable, not something even excellent. I mean, excellence to me is a low standard. Outstanding is the standard I'm looking for. Because, you know, if you do a poor job at something, you know you're going to get poor rewards. But that's not really true. When you do a poor job, you get fired. You get outsourced. You get right-sized. Today, the world's too competitive. You can't do a poor job. You do a poor job with your kids, they end up in jail. You do a poor job in your relationship, it's over. Some people's standard in life is to do a good job at something. Well, if you're good at something, what kind of rewards do you get? Most people say good. No. When you do a good job, you get poor rewards. That's the way life is wired. A lot of people come to me and they say, you know, I'm a good husband, I'm a good wife. How come my husband and wife left me? You know, I'm a good parent. How come my kid's on cocaine? I'm a good worker. How come I'm frustrated and I'm financially strapped? And I care about people. And I say, you know, I'm going to tell you an answer you don't want to hear. But you got to understand how life is wired. You do a good job, you get poor rewards. That's how it is. But you can say, well, I don't like this. This isn't very fair. The best study of life is how it is. So most achievers, they're going for that level of life called excellence, right? Achievers want to really make it happen. But let me tell you something. When you do an excellent job, what kind of rewards do you get? Good, right? And that's when you go, is this all there is? I worked this hard. I did all these things here, and this is the only reward? It seems disproportionate. I'm getting more than other people. I'm experiencing more than other people, but I'm one of the best. Excellence gives you good rewards. And that's when most people give up and go, oh, why even try? And you know what? They give up about a quarter inch away from where all the rewards are. Imagine that the floor is doing a poor job. About the level of your waist is a good job. At the level of the top of your head is excellence. There's huge jumps between those three, isn't there? But guess where outstanding is? Outstanding is where all the rewards are. It's a quarter inch above your head. It's a quarter inch above excellence. When you are outstanding, when you stand out from all the rest, you're only doing a little bit better than other people who are excellent, but you get all the rewards. It's completely unfair. But let me tell you something. It's how life is wired, because when someone is outstanding, they make it possible for all the rest of us, because they show us the result is possible and begin to cause us to believe that the world could be better. Whether that be a Nelson Mandela or a Mother Teresa or a Princess Diana or somebody you know in your personal life that's outstanding at something, when you see it, a part of you knows that's possible.
This session continues on the opposite side.
Now, you may say, oh, they're very special, so you don't have to deal with it. Or you may say the same thing inside of them is available in me at some level. Maybe it isn't in the thing they're good at. Maybe it's not in running. Maybe it's in the way I raise my kids that's outstanding. And you know what? That's the place you want to play. Because when you're outstanding, you get extraordinary rewards, disproportionate rewards. It's unfair, and it's where you want to play. Do you get the Olympics by being good? Never in a million years. We get the Olympics by being excellent. You might as well forget it. There's no chance. You have to be totally outstanding at the Olympics. And when you do, everyone on Earth, 3 or 4 billion people at least, watch you on television for a week and marvel at what you are. Some of them don't just marvel. Some of them get a vision of what's possible. Maybe not in athletics for them, but what's possible for a human being to create. I mean, every year, what happens in the Olympics? Human beings run faster. They jump higher. Every year, we say this is the most that a human being can possibly do, and then somebody does more, and they keep raising the standard. And guess how they do it? With vision, not just with physical action. I'll give you the most simple example. For thousands of years, what happened? Mankind tried to run a 4-minute mile. In fact, it was done even the time of the Greeks. And to try and give extra leverage, they would tie a bull on a rope to the back of this guy and say, run like the wind. And the guy would run as hard as he could, and he didn't run a 4-minute mile. So for 1,000 years, here we are, trying to figure things out. Throughout history, nobody can do it, so we've assume a human being just physically can't move that fast. Along comes one man, Roger Bannister. What did Roger do? Did he run more than other people? No. What Roger did was really simple. Roger went inside of his head, and each time as he trained, he decided that he would never break that barrier unless he first broke it in his head. And so he visualized, just like the example I gave you of Andre Agassi. Over and over again, he visualized running faster than a 4-minute mile. And of course, as you probably know, he did it. But here's what's really amazing. Within 3 years, 27 other people ran a 4-minute mile. You know why? Because all of a sudden, that success cycle was changed. Because all of a sudden, people looked around and said, it is possible. I'm certain he's done it. It's doable. And they tapped more potential. They took more action. They got greater results, and their belief got stronger. And now, a 4-minute mile is not a special thing. High school kids do it. Now, do you think it's because the human form has changed so much? No. It's because we have completely changed. So when someone is outstanding, they make it possible for the rest of us. So that's what you want to be if you're a leader. Set that as your standard. In fact, I'll tell you a phrase to remember. Excellence sucks. You can quote me on that. That doesn't sound very elegant, but you want to have a higher standard. And you might say, yeah, but I don't have that kind of physical ability. Well, let me give you a clue. You go to the Olympics, amongst those who are most outstanding, some are more outstanding than others, right? What do we give the number one person? 12 people running a race. They're all amazing. The number one person, what do they get? Gold medal. What else they get? Some people say endorsements. Yeah, that's true. But what they really get that you can't buy is they become a hero for the rest of their life. You can't buy that. You can't get that anyway but to earn it. If you watch the Olympics held in Atlanta, for example, if you watch on the first opening ceremonies, a 97-year-old man walked out on the stage. He's the oldest living gold medalist in the world. And what happened? 100,000 people in the stadium stood and clapped for him. The president cried. People on television watched everywhere. The whole world's clapping because they know that 75 years ago, he was outstanding. I mean, that's what happens when you play at that level. But guess what? When you're number one, you get the gold medal. Number two, you get silver. Number three, you get bronze. What do you get as number four? Nothing. Nada. Squat. You get the memory that you were there. How's that for unfair? You're the fourth fastest human being on the planet, and you get squat. You go, that's not very fair. That's how life is. But let me give you a clue. Your life is not a race. Let me tell you how you really get to be outstanding. You change your standards for yourself. You decide that outstanding is not a skill set. It's really based on heart. Did you see in those same Olympic Games in Atlanta when Carrie Strug got injured? Remember her, the gymnast on the American team? And what happened? The commentators said, oh my God, that's it. Here was their chance to win the gold medal, but this freak injury will cause them to lose now. And, you know, there's this feeling of kind of depression and disappointment. And all of a sudden, there was that dramatic moment. Do you remember it? Were you watching? She kind of stood up and hobbled. And she started moving to position. And people started looking. And all of a sudden, the commentator said, I don't believe it. I think she's going to try and do this on one leg. And they said, no, no, she couldn't possibly do that. She could injure herself badly forever. They said, no, she is going to do it. And then she took those incredible steps and did that catapult and came back and landed just for a millisecond on both legs because she had to do that. And then all of a sudden, she pulled that leg up just long enough to be scored. And she won. And the Americans won. And all hell broke loose. I don't know about you, but I cried. Did you? Now, I got a question for you. Why'd you cry? You don't even know this girl. I'll tell you why. Because in that moment, you saw something that was outstanding. And you realized it wasn't skill. It was heart. Heart. That's how you become outstanding. If you got enough heart and enough vision and enough reasons, there is nothing you dream about you can't turn into reality. Because with that kind of vision and with the skills to be able to plan it and organize it, there's nothing you can't achieve. But you got to have the heart. You got to raise your standards. That's how your life changes. That's how you make it all work for yourself. And you know what? If you cried, if you laughed, if you clapped, why did you? Maybe because in that moment you recognized a part of yourself. You saw in that moment a part of you. That's why you connected to that moment. And you either realized that no matter how well you're doing, there's more still available. Or maybe you felt sad because you know there's a part of you that's not being used. And it's time to make that happen. And maybe for you, it's not outstanding athletics. Maybe it's being an outstanding friend. This is not sports. It's not like if you win, I lose. Even in business, we can both win. Don't get yourself in limited metaphors. Can you be an outstanding father or mother or lover, best friend, business person? There's no question, but you need a vision to ignite you. You need a set of standards that say, this is how I'm going to play and nothing less than this. If you do that, your whole life will take it to another level. This is what OPA is about, not mechanics. Vision turned into reality through understanding, through emotion, through heart, and a bit of planning. That's what it's for. So let's get started. Let's start to find your vision right now. Stand up. Please don't do this sitting down. I want you to stand up, and there's a reason for it. Shake your body out. I want you to think about, just shake your body out and make yourself feel really good. Breathe for a moment. Maybe stretch your hands above your head just for a second. Maybe go to the left-hand side and feel it. Maybe go to the right-hand side and really feel it. Shake it out because I want you in a great state for this. All right? Breathe. Breathe. So what's going to be the standard from your life from now on? You want to be good? You want to be excellent? No. What do you want to be? Totally what? Outstanding. To be outstanding, you need a vision bigger than where you are right now. And if even if you don't achieve that vision perfectly, the pursuit of that vision will create an extraordinary life of growth and enjoyment. So here's what I want you to do. Don't make this perfect. If you come and make it perfect, I will seek you out and find you and change your state. We're not about perfection. We're about being outstanding. And your skills may not be outstanding yet, but your commitment, your energy, your attitude can be. You're in control of that, aren't you? So here's what I want you to do. With your eyes closed, I want you to start, and I want you to think, and by the way, before you do this, you may want to get your list of categories in front of you. And if you say, but Tony, I don't have a list yet. Well, what standard were you playing on in that tape if you didn't write out your categories? Was that poor? Was that good? What was that? And what kind of rewards did you get for that? So if you haven't done your categories, then you might want to stop this tape and don't say, oh, I can't do this session. Do it right now. What are categories? Don't make them bigger than they are. Just think of your personal life. What are the areas of my personal life that I need to focus on and continuously improve? What are the areas? I put them all together, make it a category. Physical, emotional, relationship, financial, spiritual, friendships. What are they? And in my professional life, what are those areas that are most important for me to focus on and constantly improve in? If you haven't done that, please do that. So you can do this process. Stop the tape if you haven't done it. Go do that. I'm assuming you have. So if you're playing full out with me, here's what we're going to do. Breathe. Put yourself in a really incredible state, like a state of positive anticipation. You know how it feels when you expect something good is going to happen? Not like you got effort ahead of you, like something really awesome could come from this. Something wonderful, something spectacular, splendid, outstanding could come from this. How would you breathe if you had that sense of positive anticipation? If you had certainty that you're going to do something that's going to be great for you right now? That it was a little thing, but like if you imagine you're heading to the right at a certain angle, and all of a sudden we make a 10-degree shift, it's a little change, and you take that 10-degree shift out a week from now, and you follow the path of that change. You change the angle 15 degrees. You go out 2 months from now. You go out 6 months from now. You go out a year from now. You end up in a totally different place, don't you? Little changes do not have small effects on your life. Little changes accumulate to create big changes in your life. So now let's do it. With your eyes closed, positive anticipation, breathing, feeling awesome. I want you to think of one of your first categories. And if you're not sure, just look down and see what it is. Maybe it's your physical body as an example. And what I want you to do right now is I want you to breathe, and I want you to feel great, and I want you to think of what is your ultimate vision for your body as an example. I know most of you have that, so I'll use that as an example. What's your ultimate vision? Like, what's your ultimate outcome? What would your body be like if you were at your best? No matter what your age is. Helga Crooks, for example, is a lady that didn't start mountain climbing until she was 65 years old. And in her late 80s, she climbed the top of Mount Fuji. I mean, you know, I don't care how old you are. Don't tell me that story. I'm saying, what could you as a human being create if you were absolutely committed? What would you want? What does that vision look like? Get a picture of it or get a feel for it. How would you stand if you were at your very best? How would you be breathing at your very best? When you looked in the mirror, what would you look like? What would the ultimate vision? Don't think about what your body is now. Think about how you want it to be. Remember, we don't want to focus on the wall. The love handles are the wall. The stomach is the wall. Forget that. We want to focus on where we want to go. We want to start driving towards that. Get a vision for where we want to be. What could you do physically if you're at your best? What would you do? Would you participate in some sport? Forget the time thing. I'm saying, what's your vision? And ultimately, how would you look? How would you feel every day? How would it affect the way you communicate to other people when you felt that confidence and that certainty that says, this is who I am. I have sculpted myself into this place. And what would be some of the words to describe yourself as this person? What would be something that would make you smile? You stud muffin, you. I don't know what this insane, stupid thing you put there. You athlete. You warrior. You Adonis. You slender, perfect figure. I don't know what it is. What is it for you? Get a picture of that and think about the roles you'd play, the kind of person you'd be at that place. You got a vision that excites you? Now I'll tell you, to help you out, take the image and make it brighter. Bring it closer. Make it bigger. Step into it and feel like you're that person right now. Actually breathe and feel like you are there right now. Remember, the more vividly you can feel this or think about this or imagine this, the more real it'll become. You'll be pulled to it like a magnet. Feel it. Can you feel it? Now, as this person, feeling this, here's what I want you to do. Why? What's your ultimate purpose? Why do you want to feel this way? Why do you want to look this way? Why do you want to move this way? What will it give you to be this? Think about it. What will it give you to be this person? Feel yourself in the vision. You're this person now. What can you do now? What has it changed in your life? What's your level of confidence? What kind of example are you for your friends or your family or your kids or the people you love? Who would you attract as this person? Who would you inspire? What would be possible if you had this kind of physical vitality and energy and excitement and drive? How proud would you feel? What is your ultimate purpose to go with this vision? Think about that. Feel it. Really feel it. That's it. Good, good. You're doing great. Don't do it perfect. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. And if you haven't got a perfect vision, then let go. Pretend you're somebody else. Some of you think, oh, I can't have that vision. So pretend it's somebody else's vision. What would it be like? Great. And how would you language your purpose? Not perfect. Just what are some of the words you use for your purpose? God, my reason for doing this, the reason I do whatever it takes to be this way is why. Because to settle for anything less than I can be is not the way I'm willing to live. Because I want to be outstanding. Because it'll be fun. Because I'll feel playful again. Because I'll feel strong. Because my body will be aligned. I won't be all broken down. I won't have back pain. Is it possible to do all that? You bet it is, no matter what age you are. Feel how good it would feel to have effortless feelings in your body and strength and power. Now I got a question for you. Who would you be as this person? What roles would you play? What would be some fun words to describe who you are at this point? Well, don't worry about it. Do something fun. Just let something pop in your head. Right? Maybe you're a love machine. I don't know. Come up with something that's pretty cool. It's fun. It's playful. Right? What is the word for you? Think of it. And then I want you to think of something else. As this person, what are the resources available to you to become this person? Maybe there's a gym. Maybe there's somebody you know is a great trainer. You could go get a trainer. Maybe there's something on the internet. Maybe there's a program that can show you how to lose weight or detoxify your system. What are some of the resources available for you to make this happen? Maybe it's your own determination that you can reignite. Maybe it's a conditioning tool, like we teach something called a swish pattern, if you're familiar with it, out of my books or tapes or seminars. It shows you how to condition yourself so you want to work out. What are some of the tools available to you or you could go pursue? Think of all the tools. Who could you work out with? Who might be fun to work out with? So you could do it and really absolutely get yourself to that level. Or who could you go find? Maybe you could get a trainer. What are some of the great things, the resources that can make this vision real? Are you thinking of some? Good. Do any of them say, hey, wow, I got more choices than I thought. Hey, how could you make that exercise fun? What could you add to it? Maybe a resource is using music more often. Maybe what you're going to do is listen to tapes that you're learning while you're running. Very often I listen to tapes. I'm running and it's like disappears. I alternate between music and something that really inspires me or educates me or gives me a new set of tools. Maybe you can learn another language while you're doing it. Who knows? Maybe you want to just focus on your body. Maybe you want the pride of showing yourself and other people what you could do. But what are some of those resources? Maybe your pride is a resource. People you know, things, systems, maybe some equipment you want to get. It's not necessary, but maybe that'll make it feel good. Have you come up with many resources? Makes it more believable you can make it happen? Good. Then here's what I want you to do now. If you're thinking in this area of life and you had to say, well, within this area of my body, as an example, I have something I call 3 to thrive. It's really simple. And it's not, you don't even have to do it. But are there like 3 areas within your physical body you probably need to focus on generally on a regular basis? Like maybe your diet, and then maybe the structure of your body, like through chiropractic or massage, so the muscles support you. And then maybe there's something also for you, like your breathing pattern, or you might have diet, exercise, and structure. You can get the idea of what I'm talking about? Like 3 areas. Like if I was looking at my personal category, like my family, I might say, well, there's my intimate relationship with my wife, there's the relationship with my kids, and then there's a relationship with my blood family. Those are 3 to thrive, 3 areas within my family that I need to focus on a regular basis. Or my business, I might say, to be really successful in business, I really need my business to totally serve the customer. I have to create raving fan customers. And I got to have totally empowered employees who love what they're doing because they're going to take care of everybody. And I got to have incredible financial and marketing plans because otherwise all these great company and great ideas and it won't grow. That's just one simple way of looking at 3 to thrive. Don't wrestle with this. You don't even have to do it if you don't want to. It's just a tool if you want. So if you thought about your body and you want to make progress, what are the 3 things you probably focus on most? A diet, a change in like what you eat, for example, is one of those, a change in your exercise schedule, or maybe a change in your mindset, your emotions about exercise. Can you think of 3 that might be useful? Okay, cool. Now, think about your vision again, then. That's where the juice comes. See yourself as that person again. Bring it back. Come on. Step into it and really feel it. Really feel it right now. Perfect. Breathe it. Experience it. Enjoy it. Own it. This is who you are. The more times you go back into this state, the more likely you're going to get there faster. And because that's what happens. You do it again and again. What if you did this once a day, not as long as you're doing it now. You just glanced at this, and for 2 minutes you visualize your body. You think your brain would start taking you towards that instead of the wall of where you used to be or a place with no vision? You bet it will. Why do you want it? Why do you want this no matter what? What juices you about it? And then here's what I want you to do while you're still in this state. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of what's your 1-year goals for your body. What are a couple of 1-year goals? Is a certain amount of weight you want to lose? Do you want to change your body fat? You say, I may not know for sure. It's okay. You can change this later. Just say, what are some of the most important, like, top 3 goals for my body, maybe? Do you want to start working out, lifting weights a certain way? Do you want to take on a sport? Learn to play tennis? What are some of your top physical goals that would excite you, that if you could achieve those goals, In this next year, you know you'd be moving towards your vision on a major scale, and you'd be enjoying it. You'd want to come spend time here and play in this environment. What are two or three or four or five, I don't care how many, one-year goals for yourself? And make them as specific as possible. I'm going to take up this sport. I'm going to work out, you know, this way. I'm going to change my body fat to this. I'm going to go on a trip. You know, I'm going to go to a spa. You know, what's some of the goals that you want to go for? And by the way, if standing this long hurts your back, then one of those probably should be to change your structure. Because you haven't been standing this long. So if you find yourself wanting to sit down and going, oh, this is lasting a long time, you can sit down. It's okay. Just stay in a peak state. But I will tell you, you should look up somebody like Pete Egoscue or somebody who really knows their structure so they can show you how to make things better. You contact me and I'll show you how to get that done. My offices. Here's the bottom line though. You got some one-year goals that excite you? Cool. Now do one last step. And that is, what are your goals for the next quarter, for the next 90 days? So we want to break all this down until finally we'll come up with a plan of what we're going to do this week, this month, etc. So what are things you'd want to do in the next 90 days? If you say, I'm going to lose 30 pounds this year, well, then maybe in the next 90 days, if you want to lose those 30 pounds, maybe you can lose 8 pounds. You follow me on that if you want to do it over the course of the year. You might say, no, Tony, I don't want to wait till the end of the year. I'm going to lose those 30 pounds in the next 4 months. Okay, well, then that's going to be within this quarter, isn't it, this next 90 days? If you're going to take up the sport, you say, my one-year goal is to take up polo. Okay, well, are you going to do that in the next 90 days or in the next 6 months? When? See, remember what I said before? Conversation is a dream. Visualize it, and you'll be excited. You'll want to do it. Get a plan, and it's possible. Schedule it, and it's real. We want to make this real, not just a vision. So have you thought of a couple things you might do this quarter? Okay, great. And I'll tell you the final step, and you're not going to do now, is I'm going to show you how to take that goal and turn it into an outcome with a clear, simple plan that you can work on this week in a couple of minutes a week that gets you where you want to go. Doesn't that make sense? Start the vision, bring it all the way down to where the rubber meets the road, a real plan. We'll do that later. Now, I walked you through this whole process, but always return to the vision. The ultimate vision of who you want to be. The ultimate vision for this area of your life. If you use physical, for example, look at that vision, feel it, step into it. How good would you feel as this person? How much is this worth to your life to become this person? How would it add to your career, the way you interact with people because of the confidence you have? And by the way, if you could sculpt yourself into this person, what else is possible in your life? Just about anything you can imagine, because I want to tell you something. When you focus, when you direct yourself, when you discipline yourself, or when you get yourself to make something real, that same excitement, that same discipline, that same kind of result, that same kind of momentum spills into all the other areas of your life. You start believing anything's possible. So I want you to have that. So if you did nothing else, you want to remember this vision and what's your ultimate reason why. If you did nothing else, and by the way, what you just did is you created what we call your vision for success. Your magnificent seven. There are seven things we did. In review, you've got a vision, an ultimate purpose. You've got the roles you're going to play. You may have come up with three areas to focus on called three to thrive. You've got now resources that you can use, one-year goals and quarterly goals. With that, you can make anything happen. Why don't you go ahead and open your eyes, feeling really great. And how do you feel about this area of your life now? Does it excite you? Well, here's what I want you to do. Immediately capture this vision by writing it down. Now, if you have the workbook, you'll see there's a section there called My Vision for Success, and it's got one of those pyramids, and you can see the seven areas if you want to take a look at it. It starts at the top of the pyramid with an ultimate vision, then the ultimate purpose, then the roles, number three, then the three to thrive, number four, the resources and get you there, number five, 1 year and 90-day goals is number six, and ultimately, the final step is you're going to create a plan. And I'm going to show you how to do that in our next sessions. So what I want you to do is at least capture the ultimate vision and purpose, the roles for each of your categories. You're going to walk through this each of them. But right now, before you do anything, turn this tape off and capture what's in your head. I want you to write down your ultimate vision, your ultimate purpose, your roles, and again, go through all of them. Write them down as rapidly as you can. If you want, turn some music on in the background or just sit up in your chair, but make sure you stay in a peak state while you do this. And by the way, when people sit down to write something, most people stoop over, drop their shoulders, and as they do, they collapse their diaphragm and they stop breathing. So remind yourself, it's time to breathe. Maybe sit up in your chair and really feel great, okay? I really want you to capture this, so please stop the tape right now and write out your ultimate vision and your ultimate purpose and the rest of these momentum factors right now. Go ahead. Okay, welcome back. So how was that? Did you enjoy it? Wasn't that a fun process to do? If you create a vision and a sense of purpose like this for each of the categories of your life, How inspired would you be to spend time there, to work there, to get results there? Now, one of the things I want to do is I want to give you an example, because I had some people here in the studio actually do this process simultaneously. And so we're going to go back to our example. Roger, he's back with us here. And Roger, why don't you do me a favor, and why don't you just read to me so people can hear what people may have done. What is your ultimate vision for this area? Of course, we picked the physical area. What's your ultimate purpose? And we'll just go through the list of the six items that we have there. Why don't you step up to the mic here if you wouldn't help me out?
For my ultimate vision, I started with the idea of tone, general physical toning, strength, to have my mind-body ultimate connection, and to feel structurally sound.
Okay. And what was your ultimate purpose?
Well, I started my ultimate purpose thinking that if I could just gain a greater health and feel a little bit more confident about my body, that'd be good enough. And then I came to the idea of, my daughter Madison is 3 years old. I would love to be able to be around while she was playing with her grandchildren, and that was strong enough of an idea for me.
So, and by the way, when you personally went through your vision and your purpose, very often we write a lot of words in our purpose statement, and what happens is some of them get us going, but usually there's what I call a pivot point, something you want so bad. In your case, Roger, it's obvious that seeing Madison playing with her own grandchildren and you being there as a great granddad would be an unbelievably driving experience for you. You're going to do more for that than almost anything else. So you got to keep digging until you find a purpose that drives you. So you clearly, that part you clearly have. Tell me, what were some of the roles that you listed and what were your three to thrive, the three areas you wanted to focus on?
I started simple with just stud, figured that'd be a good place to start. Adonis, if I was going to be a stud, I might as well just be an Adonis also. And then I went to steam engine and solar plant because I wanted to be environmentally healthy.
That's great. Tell me, what do you got? What were the three to thrive for you? Three areas that you knew you had to focus on if you're going to really meet your vision.
Focus on diet, lose a little bit of the chocolate cookie thing. Focus on structural strength. I've said that before, feeling that every part of my body that needed to be strong was equally
balanced. Sure, great.
And have regularity, be able to do this on a regular basis.
Oh, I thought regularity was something that you got when you eliminated on a regular basis. Okay. What were the resources that you've got that can help you meet that vision?
I didn't have to go far. I have a gym at my house. And I thought, if I didn't even want to use the gym at my house, there happens to be a street out in front of my house. I could just as easily run up and down and make fun of the neighbors. And I also have a basketball court nearby and tennis courts nearby. It's simple. I just have to look out the window, and there's exercise possibilities.
Tell me, what did you see as your one-year goals then?
Well, I figured right now, tomorrow, I could go downstairs and work on the treadmill and work with the other exercise equipment that I have. And then within a couple of weeks, I wanted to start doing maybe yoga classes more regularly. And over the next 6 months, make it an absolute plan to join friends for maybe tennis or racquetball, you know, things like that.
Great. And what did you have as quarterly goals? Or like the next quarter, the next 90 days?
The next 90 days, I decided definitely start with the treadmill, start taking yoga classes, start talking to the friends that are eventually going to get together with me and free up enough time to play tennis.
Okay. So now let me give you a little coaching. And for those listening, this will be a given example. When we read his ultimate vision, and he says his ultimate vision is to have tone and strength and a mind-body connection and structurally sound body where everything is balanced, that's good. But he didn't have a lot of emotional juice in his voice when he did that. And so I look at that area and say, okay, when he thought about it, I saw his face through the glass here, and he was really lit up. So the words are not giving him the same feeling. So maybe he wants to do something else. So for me, my ultimate vision for my physical area is that health and fitness are my identity. They're my lifestyle. That exercise and diet and sports are part of everything I do. That I'm fabulously buffed, muscular, flexible, and strong with extraordinary aerobic capacity and structural strength and balance. That my physiology is first in my life, that I take care of it first, that I've regenerated my body to even a greater sense of youth and energy than any other time in my life, and that I have a sporting lifestyle. When I think about that, that juices me. So what he needs to work on is enhancing his vision, because when he got to his purpose, he had a whole lot more energy there. So for me, my purpose is to give me the energy to burn that I deserve and that I need, and to give me the resources that allow me to live my life to the fullest extent possible, to have an ever-expanding sense of capacity to give, to be an inspirational example for people of what a level of energy, passion, and juice of life could offer them if they were just consistent in their approach to their physical body, and to help people to raise their standards. So those things juice me just like Madison juices you. I don't think you need that on yours. Ultimate purpose is strong. I'd strengthen the vision. His roles are great because they're fun. Stud, Adonis, steam engine, solar plant. He has three areas to focus on: structural strength, diet, regularity. All are great. His resources are great. He's going, I got stuff in my home, in my gym. I got the streets I can run. I got basketball courts. I got tennis things. I got all kinds of things. He could also list people that he knows that like to work out as resources. He could also think of a trainer as a resource. He doesn't have to use those, but that might get him to do it more regularly, which is one of his goals. And then you say, what's your one-year goals? This is the other area you could strengthen, because right now it's kind of general. What he really did is he said, what actions could I take immediately towards my vision, instead of saying, what are my one-year outcomes? So he came up with the answer to his question. He said, I could go work out on the treadmill. You know, I could go take a yoga class. I could start joining friends. But let me tell you a secret on one-year goals. Be as specific as possible, because if you can't measure it, can't manage it. So you got to say, okay, if I'm going to have my one-year goals, instead of telling me the process of being on the treadmill, you got to say, okay, I'm going to weigh X amount. My body fat is going to be this. I'm going to have the capacity to walk up the side of the mountain. You know, something you can measure. I'm going to be in a position where I'm a basketball player now. Or I'm a tennis player now. I'm going to take up the sport and be good at it by the end of the year and enjoying it. Those are more specific. Then he could say, one of my goals for this quarter, and he could say, okay, I'm going to begin my yoga classes within 90 days. I am going to work out on the treadmill at least 3 days a week or 2 days a week. I don't care how many. I'm going to make sure that I found a workout partner who I'll work out with twice a week. You know, I'm going to make sure I come up with ways to really thoroughly enjoy exercising, music, whatever the case may be. And by the way, I have a little coaching for each of you. If there's something you want to get yourself to do on a regular basis, what helps you to do it is when you relate it to what I call the six human needs. I don't want to go into that on this tape. It's really not part of this. It's part of personal power. But I will tell you, think of it this way. You have a need for certainty that you can have pleasure and comfort. You have a need for variety. You have a need for significance, to feel like what you're doing is unique. You have a need for connection. You have a need to feel like you're growing and like you're contributing. So if you're working out by yourself, you may not feel a lot of connection. You could feel it with yourself or with your creator. So you might want to get a partner. If you're doing something that always injures you, you're not going to do it on a regular basis. You got to find something you enjoy. So instead of, you know, running, you may not like running. Maybe you'll play basketball because you love basketball. Why? You got other friends. It's competitive. You feel like you're achieving something. You're being unique. You've got variety because it's constantly changing. And you have, if you're good at it or even decent at it, you have a certain amount of certainty you're going to enjoy it. So since it meets more of your needs, it is not required discipline. You won't have to focus on, oh my God, how do I get myself to play? Or you can take up horseback riding, or you can take up anything that you know you're going to love. So if yoga is something you love, great. But if being on the treadmill is not something you love, you better come up with a way to do that. Like, okay, I'm going to watch CNN while I'm on that, you know, because I do that anyway. Or I'm going to listen to some educational tapes, or I'm going to put some kick butt music on there and visualize my goals during that time. You can juice up getting yourself to do something by what I call scoring your life. Scoring it means if you watch the movie without the music, a scary movie isn't scary and a love story isn't a love story. Bring some music to it. Bring some color. Do it in an environment outside instead of in a little gym. The more you can create additional things that cause you to be triggered to enjoy the experience, the more likely you are to do it, okay? So, but you need to tighten these one-year goals and tighten the quarterly. So I really appreciate you letting us share this, because everyone that does this, it's the first time we're doing it. None of us are good at it or perfect at it. But are you inspired by what you wrote down here?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's him in the distance. So that's perfect. Thank you so much, Roger. So for each of you, I'd like you to take a look at your vision statement and see if you can make it even more juicy. Maybe look at your purpose statement and make sure there's something in there that really grabs you, because out of all that stuff, Roger didn't have to do that perfectly. If he had his vision just like that and he had that purpose, that'd be great. He's going to be really motivated. I'm just trying to help him make it even better, to help him to make it so it's even more driving. But with Madison, seeing his daughter Madison playing with her grandchildren, he's there healthy and vibrant without back pain and broken down. That's a vision that'll get him excited. So, by the way, Roger, I got to ask you one other thing. In order for you to be there healthy, vibrant, happy, strong, no back pain, feeling really, really that vibrant level of health, and you're with your daughter Madison, and you're the great-grandfather, and she has her own grandchildren, and you're there loving it. You got that feeling in picture?
I'm picking both of them up and rocking them.
Okay, that's
the
cool.
Kids, Madison, everybody.
Oh, that's awesome. So now, here's what I want you to do. Answer this question. What specific results would you have to create and change in your body today so that will really happen, so it's not just a pipe dream?
I kind of listed three that I would have to drastically increase the core level of my physical strength.
Right. So you might do that for lifting weights or working with somebody like a Pete Egoscue, somebody who can show you how to strengthen the base level. That's also what yoga will do.
Right, not just have big arms or just big thighs or, you know, something, just a general physical strengthening of the proper muscles.
Okay, so that now becomes an area that you'll definitely set some goals in. So you'll say, I want to specifically be able to do yoga at a level that gives me that. Or I specifically want to know that I've increased my physical strength and flexibility by at least 25%. And that can be measured by an expert. You may not know what that is, but an expert can do it.
Right. And a huge thing on my list is I put reduce stress, because I am fully aware that the amount of stress I have on a daily basis has to weaken me intensely physically.
Right. And what you said to me off camera, or I should say off audio here, was that if you don't reduce your stress, not reducing that will kill you. Yeah. And you want to language it for yourself with that kind of intensity, because that will get your attention. And so now you're learning some things here that can help you reduce stress.
Right.
But you could also think, well, what are some things I'm going to do? So maybe within 1 year, I'm going to take once every quarter, as an example, I'm going to go on 3 trips this year to reduce my stress and strengthen my body. Maybe I'll go to yoga camp. Maybe I'll go off on it, and you can list. I'm going to go on 3 trips or 1 trip. You know, but 3 trips would be fantastic. You go, well, I can't afford that. I can't take the time. Well, maybe you can if you organize the rest of your life. You may be surprised. Maybe you can't afford not to if you want to be with Madison. You say, that's one of my goals. Within the year, I'm going to go 3 times or once to yoga camp, once to this other thing, once to a tennis camp. I don't know what it is. But having that goal, now you can create a plan on how to really make that work in your life. Okay?
Great.
So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
So I hope that's instructive for you. Again, you know, Roger's list may be different than mine or different than yours, but the point of the matter is, if you want to get it more clear, remember, clarity is power. The more specific you are about your vision, the more specific you are about your goals, the easier it is to measure it and create a plan for it. Clarity is power. That should become like your mantra, phrase you use, so keep getting it more and more clear, and then you can really make what you want to have happen. So if you're not clear about what you're after, just ask yourself the question, in order to have this ultimate purpose, and by the way, what is his real vision? His real vision is seeing himself with Madison, with her kids. That's his real vision, and that he's physically toned and so forth. And his purpose is to be able to have that relationship with her and feel strong and healthy enough to enjoy being with her. Do you guys follow that? So that's why I have you come up with a vision and a purpose. Sometimes your purpose is really the picture you're going after, and it can help you enhance your vision. I know I went through that rapidly, but hopefully that makes some sense to you. And by the way, some of you might say, well, how the heck is Roger ever going to get to play with his great-grandchildren if he's already 40, or almost 40, I guess 39, and he's got a 3-year-old daughter? You say, well, he'd have to be 89 years old, roughly, you know, 85. Well, if he saw a 70-year-old man who looked like he was 90, which Roger confided to me he did initially when he saw it, he won't get there. But with a new vision like this, he can. And let me give you the facts behind it so you know this isn't just positive thinking. Here's the reality. There are 3 different universities in the United States that have done research with people over the age of 65 who have never really worked out or taken care of themselves, but have not had cancer or a stroke. So they've had okay body. They've done okay. They started them working out with physical weights. Within 24 months, they're able to get these men and women in their 60s and 70s to be physically as strong as men and women in their 20s and 30s. Same capacity. Like my friend I told you about, who's 70 years old, bench pressing 450 pounds. I don't do that now. And he didn't start until he was almost 60. So think about the process. And I'll tell you what's great about lifting weights. It stimulates growth hormone, which is like the youth pill for your whole body. If that'll stimulate the tissue becoming stronger, that'll stimulate the cells functioning. So that's one of the reasons you want to start pursuing it. And I'll tell you one other thing. In 1900, in this country, the average age of an American, I believe, if I remember correctly, was 47 years old. I have to look it back up, and I'm pretty certain that was the number. Today, it's 76. So in a generation, we've seen the lifespan of a human being almost double. And I remember reading a statistic recently, and I apologize for not remembering the exact year, but I think they were saying, well, first of all, I know the fastest growing group of Americans are centenarians. That means people growing to live to be 100 years old or older. And what they're projecting now is that the lifespan of a human being, if we grew that much from 1900 till now, we didn't have any of the genetic understandings, any of the exercise regimens, any of the approaches that we have today, but that the average American, again, I forget the year, I apologize for not having this accurately, but if you do your homework, you can find out for yourself. I believe it was by 2015, they said the average age of American would move from 76 to 99. And they said that by whatever it was, 2025, it jumps up to like 125. And you know what? If you just look at it logically, from what it was in 1900 till now, and knowing all the other resources we have, the biggest challenge we're going to have in society is this. Everybody's getting older and sticking around longer, right? And we've got to figure out what are we going to do with our lives. People are starting to think about, how can I retire at 65, and they got 30 years ahead of them? You know, you got to figure out what to do to be fulfilled and to grow and to expand. I suggest you get a few categories to focus on so that you have something to look forward to and to work on, so you're not just depressed and you're excited about who you're becoming and what your life represents. So again, expand your vision for what's possible. Develop your purpose. Find that certainty, and the how to do it will show up. So the point of the matter is ask yourself, what specific results? What would I have to change in my body? If we were in your relationship area or your family area, what would I have to change or improve specifically in order to meet that vision? Then you'll start getting specific goals, and now we can create specific plans. All right? So you say, okay, Tony, this is great. So what do I got to do? Well, here's all you got to do. Here's your assignment. All you need to do is do this for each of your categories. So how are you going to do it? Are you a madman like me? Are you going to go off for 90 minutes or 2 hours, go off someplace, no one's going to interrupt you, and just hit through these? It took Roger about 5 minutes to do that. I took longer. I think I took more like 10 minutes for each one, maybe even 15 on some. But, you know, I was letting my mind just really think. It's totally up to you how you want to do it. And you can't fail at this. There's no one going to come by and grade it. It's for you. The grade is, does it inspire you? The grade is, does it remind you you got lots of resources to do it? The grade is, does it give you clarity about what you need to go for in this area of your life? That's the grade. And if it does that, it's fantastic. You word it your own way. No one else is going to be looking at this but you. So I want you to go through and do this as the very, very minimum. The very minimum, go through each category and do what is your ultimate vision. How are you going to do it? You're going to stand up. You're going to close your eyes. And you're going to think about, what is my vision? You want to breathe it. Or you can do it sitting down, but make sure you're in a peak state, not all crunched over. Okay? What's my vision? And you can use the same process earlier on this tape that we did. And when I say physical, just replace it in your mind with emotional. Or when I say physical, replace it with the area of your life called family or your intimate relationship. And actually get your vision. Get your purpose. What are the resources? What are the goals? It's the exact same process, okay? So that's all you have to do. Take it for each area, and you're going to have major momentum. So now, guess what you'll have by the end of this? A really awesome foundation life plan that gives you lots of flexibility. You know, it's not like you're locked in. It's saying, these are the areas of my life that are most important. Here are the roles. Here's my vision for each area of my life. Let me get it vivid in my mind, so it pulls me. Here's my purpose. Here are the areas I need to focus on called Three to Thrive. Here are my resources. Here are some of my specific goals for the year, and here's what I'm going to go for in the next 90 days. Boy, is that a lot more clarity than 99.9999999% of the population? You bet. You have a huge jump, and I haven't even taught you yet how to turn this into a plan. But that's because you can't have a day plan or a week's plan or a project's plan without a plan for your life. Again, don't be perfect. Be kind to yourself. Be fun. And if this is overwhelming, do it all at once. Do two or three of them. Do two or three today, two or three tomorrow, but do it as quickly as possible and don't let anything interrupt this pattern. That's why it's better to do it all at once. Just go in there and kick butt. I'm really excited for you because I know if you're still listening to me at this point, you're starting to lay the foundation for something extraordinary. And you bring me the vision. In the next session, I'll begin to show you how you're going to convert that vision. What are you going to do to begin to create this as really clear outcomes? What are you going to do to begin to what I call chunk this, break this down into bite-sized steps that you can follow through on? And then the session after that is when we really do the planning. I'm going to walk you through the 5 steps to creating a master plan for anything, a day, a week, a month, a project, a goal. So next session, when I'll see you tomorrow on, or maybe I'll see you later after you've done this, depends on how aggressive you are in your process here, I'll be there to really walk you a little bit more clearly now into the mechanics of OPA. What are the outcomes? How do you chunk it? So what's your assignment? Simple. Go create some vision. Go create some purpose. Remember what it creates. It creates an extraordinary life, a life you deserve, a life you desire. Make it happen. And I'll talk to you tomorrow or in the next session. Till then, this is Tony Robbins saying, as usual, live with passion.